Hello, and welcome to the monthly comic spotlight on the Comic Book Page podcast. My name is John Mann. In this episode, we'll be discussing recently released comics, one from DC, one from Marvel, and at least one other. As always, we'll keep major spoilers to a minimum, but we'll discuss general plot points and storylines of the comics we review. In this monthly comic spotlight, I am joined by James, and we're going to discuss some of the comics we got in November 2021. James, how are you doing tonight?
I'm great. How are you doing, John?
I am doing well. It was an interesting month. It felt like I got more than I think I actually did, and I'm not quite sure how that happened.
I received 85 comics, but it seemed like it was more than that for some reason.
I think I only got like 65 comics, which, I mean, hell, I've literally had weeks where I got that much at one point. And the first 2 weeks were like, you know, Baker's dozen each, and then 16, and then 23. Maybe it was just the 23 that made it feel like a lot at the end there.
Yeah.
But it was a smaller month than some that I've had, but it didn't feel like it had a ton of just wow stuff in it, if you know what I mean.
No, it's getting into the doldrums, like the end of the year holiday doldrums, it feels like. And I've been noticing that too, where it seems like everything's getting back end loaded, where that last shipment of the month is huge, and they're kind of skimpy in the middle of the month.
Well, I think we're definitely at the point where we're feeling the pain of the supply chain issues, certainly with DC and such, and some of the other publishers and distributors. And I don't know where the problems are and stuff, but there have been a couple of times where it's like, I thought this was coming out this week. Maybe it's next or something like that.
Yeah, stuff just disappears and then appears sometimes. Like, it's just very bizarre. Like, I know I received, like, I think a big Avengers book. I can't remember if that was in this last shipment, that, you know, for the next month for December or last month. But it was like that Avengers 50, which was square brown. But then I realized when I got that, I was like, man, I haven't gotten Avengers for a while. I think they kind of stopped everything while they're waiting to get this one from the printer. So just weird things not showing up when they're supposed to.
I think that was in the first or second week of December. And because December started on the 1st and we're recording this on the 9th, we've actually gotten 2 weeks, or a week with another one on the way.
Yeah.
In December. So yeah, there was no Avengers in November.
Yeah, there was none at all. So when I saw that in my shipment, I kind of looked over. I looked at my list. I was like, yeah, I don't think we read any for a while. I don't know what happened to it. Just let's stop because we can't get this comic in or something.
The cadence just feels off on a number of things.
It really does. There's some things that I got that I'm like, what in the heck? Or where this is? It's some indie things where I had forgotten I'd even ordered that. I was like, wow, look at this comic that showed up. Mm-hmm. Which is just kind of funny.
Yeah, yeah. So let's see. For DC, I got 28 comics with a total cover price of about $121.72. How much did you get?
And I'm at 24 comics, so that's the one category where you beat me. You definitely get more DC than I do.
Yeah, I'm an easy sell for DC. Whether that continues or not, I don't know.
Yeah, we've been talking about that. There's a lot of weird things going on, but the one piece of good news that we heard is they signed Tom Taylor to an exclusive contract, which I had thought those had gone away, but apparently they're back.
I can see doing it for him.
He's great.
he's got a really good track record. He's doing some good stuff right now. Certainly what he's doing over at Nightwing, the current Fear State stuff aside, I think is really good. Not so jazzed about the current Fear State stuff in general, much less on Nightwing.
Yeah.
But I think, for me, the best of the month from DC was Dark Knights of Steel #1. It's Tom Taylor.
Dark Knights of Steel #1 was my pick of the month, too. I thought it started fantastic.
Interesting setup. Wasn't exactly what I expected, but it was interesting. I mean, there was a few things at the end, a little gross, but it's essentially a King Arthur version of the DC universe.
Yeah, very much so.
You know, so for a high concept, that's an easy pitch, and some of the things they went and did there were not just the obvious things.
Yeah, very different, and there was a nice spin on it, some cameos that happened here and there, and a nice surprise reveal about, you know, one of the characters, you know, fighting with a banshee and stuff. But I was surprised with the ending. I was like, wow. So that's a good sign sometimes that they can surprise you with the ending.
Yeah, and Tom Taylor's done some good alternate reality stuff with DC before. So
you know, he understands the core of the characters to use as a springboard and where he could and should, you know, veer from that.
Yeah. So I thought that was the best thing that came out, because normally that's reserved for Nightwing, but it's been sucked into the abyss of Fear State. So that just came out to be an average meh book.
Yeah. Well, for me, it was a little less than that. I mean, it was one of those that I just, it was an acceptable issue, I guess, but it felt like a generic Bat Family book.
Yeah. You know,
it didn't feel like a Nightwing book. And the whole Seer storyline continuing in Batgirls, yeah, or wherever that's going to continue. I think that's Batgirls. I'm not crazy about the art style and the previews for that title. So, I mean, I pre-ordered the first few, but it's one that I don't know that I'll stick with.
Yeah, I wasn't enjoying it. I'm definitely not picking it up because I wasn't enjoying the backup story.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm just like, eh. So I'm not in on that one. It was overall a little bit disappointing, but there were some things that I did like.
Mm-hmm.
Did you like the Aquaman and the Green Arrow Deep Target thing?
Yeah, we talked about that some last month. I thought this was another fun issue.
Me too.
More action than plot progression, but still, good read.
Yeah, a lot of action. And then I don't know if you liked Robin number 8. I liked it. It was a fight issue.
It was one where, I mean, Robin's a great fighter, but I mean, come on. Connor Hawk is older, stronger, and just has a clear edge over Robin physically.
Yes, exactly.
And there was a bit where the end was a bit cliche and such, and it seems like this is one where it's going for the shock and awe versus solid storytelling.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that, because I didn't care for the ending, but overall I liked the fight scene, so I thought that was okay. But when it came to the ending, I was like, oh no.
Mm-hmm.
You know, let's rewind. What else did you enjoy? Because there were some things that I enjoyed that I know you're not getting.
Static Shock Season 1, number 4?
Oh, yeah. Okay, I didn't get that one.
I mean, it's going in a different direction than the original, but it's still just, it's a great read.
Yeah. Now, one of the ones that I really liked was Nice House on the Lake, number 6. Mm-hmm. It wasn't one of the best issues, but it was solid. It was a good issue. You know, you get a backstory on the house members, how they meet the person that brought them to the house, and who is the mysterious person, his purpose. It dealt about that type of stuff. And then there's also another one on the horror vein, Refrigerator Full of Heads, number 2. Which, it's kind of like a dark humor book. So it's kind of like horror, but it's more like dark humor.
Mm-hmm.
And so I liked that. I thought it was fun. But those have nothing to do with DC.
Yeah, but I mean, not everything they publish has to be set in their universe.
Yeah, so some of the things I like don't have anything to do with the superhero side of things.
I don't know that I'm getting anything that they're publishing that's not set in the superhero universe, though.
Oh, okay. You didn't get the DC versus Vampires, did you?
I did not.
Yeah, it's not great, but it's good. You know, it's another solid issue that came out. It's kind of like that Elseworlds, you know, what if there were the vampires infiltrating the ranks of the good guys and the mm-hmm. bad guys. So it deals with that. It's fun, but it's not great. It's not like a Dark Knights of Steel where that's really a great read. This is just, it's good.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, those are kind of like the good ones for me. Action, I don't know. Action Comics.
Yeah, the main story, I'm just not loving the Warworld arc.
Yeah.
The backup was finally the end of the Jimmy Olsen Guardians story. It was kind of funny seeing those two teamed up together since they're like the same character on the Supergirl TV show that just ended.
Yeah.
It was an okay issue. I just not loving the story they're telling conceptually. The execution's fine. It's just not the kind of story I want them to spend their time on.
No, I know what you mean. It seems like, you know, I don't want to use this word, but to me it just feels like it's bordering on getting into that disrespecting the character Superman, you know, with the, oh, look, he's been like this all along, haha, you know? And, you know, just like he was dying way earlier, you know, several arcs ago. And then we see that change, and I'm just like, what are they trying to do to this character? Are they just trying to, you know, dump him?
I think they were trying to cover for the mistake that was in the Batman Superman Authority special.
Oh, and I didn't read that.
Where on the cover, he looks just like Christopher Reeve.
Oh.
And that was supposedly, I guess, like Batman's first meeting with this authority and Midnighter and all that stuff. And they just had to kind of, you know, again, Superman looked just fine in that issue.
Ah, okay.
Or maybe it was another one. I mean, they're bouncing around so many places. They had places where Superman was looking old and infirm, and others where, nope, he's Superman.
Yeah, very weird. And I don't really care for the Authority, just because I don't know them very well. So they're starting to pop up in here, and I'm like, okay, that's going on.
Well, what bothered me the most about that Batman Superman Authority special was the art style in the Dark Multiverse I didn't care for. And there was a teaser of, yep, we're going to get a rematch kind of a thing going on later. And it's like, yeah, I didn't care for the first round.
You're like, fast forward. Let's go to the next thing.
Yeah. It's like, you may want to continue the story. I may not be there for that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's frustrating.
Yeah.
Now, was there anything else that you really enjoyed, per se? Or
well, we talked about the three things that I thought were really kind of better than the rest. There were a number of things that were fine.
Yeah, just okay.
Yeah. Again, action, Aquaman the Becoming, Batman versus Big B it's fine, but you know, I was expecting a little bit more. This wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah, I agree. It's just hasn't been very enjoyable the entire run, I think. It's just been okay.
If it didn't have the Robin Academy, I'd be disliking it more than I am, but I think that's at least a cool idea.
Yeah.
I still don't know, and we're like on, what, issue 3 out of 6?
Yep.
And I don't know why Big B is fighting Batman?
I don't know. I don't know what's going on.
And there were a few panel layouts that were just were crazy distracting.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
The whole GCPD, the Bat Emblem and stuff, it's like you're trying to be fancy here and just don't.
Don't. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, I got that new book that came out. It was called Robins.
Mm-hmm.
With the S, not just Robin, the number one issue. Did you get that?
I did.
Did you like it?
I'm not sure who this first Robin is supposed to be, but for some reason she reminded me of the original Joker's daughter, Dula Dent, from the Titan series back in the 70s. I mean, I don't think it's that Dula Dent, and I'm also not convinced she was the first Robin. I mean, technically, depending how continuity goes, that was Bruce, but I don't know that Bruce took on a sidekick or whatever prior to Dick Grayson. And if so, this is a major retcon. It was interesting. I like the concept of it, but I don't know where they're going with this.
Yeah, I really honestly didn't care for the book. I was bored reading it. I was like, it's just not for me. Mm. I didn't enjoy that one, and I didn't enjoy Justice League number 69. That one was pretty bad for me.
Justice League. Yeah, the main story, it was just not a great issue. Bendis was being a little too coy about what was going on, who's pulling the strings, and the reveal at the end just was out of nowhere. And with the backup feature with Justice League Dark, you know, they had these glowy things around their heads, and it's like, I can't remember what those were supposed to be from the last part of the arc or whatever. And the character they pulled in at the end, I mean, I like the character, but I just, it felt a little out of kind of nowhere. It's like, oh, we'll see where they go with it, maybe. But I think it's an overpriced book because they're forcing the backup feature on us.
Yeah.
And I'm wondering if this is going to be another one where they resolve that story in its own annual. And I'm not going to pay for its own annual. So if I'm not going to get the end of the story, you've been kind of, you know, dragging me along, you know, for an extra buck for this other story and stuff. That's annoying.
That's really annoying because they've done that. And it's just not fun. You feel like you're being fleeced at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then the other one that I kind of just didn't enjoy was Superman, Son of Kal-El. It's just not working for me. It's not even the subject matter. It's just like, it seems like they're trying to take the book in a totally not fun area.
It felt really decompressed for me.
It did. Super decompressed.
It's like there just wasn't much there, and I wasn't impressed.
Yeah, so those were like the books that I really didn't like. I mean, the other ones that I didn't like were like Black Manta and Deathstroke, which were the final issues. I already canceled them. But there's a lot of meh titles, you know, like Green Lantern, it's okay. I Am Batman, it's okay. Joker, maybe I'll keep it, maybe I won't. That's kind of where I am on a lot of these books.
Mm-hmm.
Even The Flash was kind of weird that they did that way too cute thing. You got to spin the book this way and that way to read it.
Oh.
What was that? That's annoying me at this point.
They were very much breaking the fourth wall explicitly, not in a good way. And that was not what I was wanting out of that book. And the whole, turn the page around and trying to make it like an interactive experience or something.
it was horrible.
Did not work for me.
No, hold the book long ways, hold it upside down. Now turn it this. I'm like, come on, guy. At that point, I was actively angry while I'm reading the book.
I want to know how that works for somebody trying to read it digitally.
Flip your tablet, but the picture flips for you.
Uh-huh.
They're going to hate it. They won't be able to read the story. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know how that's going to work for them.
Maybe they have to take a screenshot and go to the picture and hope it doesn't flip. I don't know.
Come on, yeah.
It was just a horrible experience. It seemed like they were trying to be cutesy. And I'm just like, okay, are you that bankrupt with, you know, like storytelling that you're having to do these cute little break the fourth wall Deadpool type story where we're flipping the book? I'm like, okay, time for a new writer on Flash. At that point, that's what I was saying.
I can agree with you on that. It's the kind of thing, if it had been a Deadpool book, I might have liked it because it would fit that franchise. But that's not what I want out of a Flash book.
No. It just goes so counteractive to what I expect when I'm reading a Flash book. You know, I expect good writing. Williamson, he's not a terrific writer, but his run was pretty decent all the way through on the Flash. Mm-hmm. And now I'm not getting that with this new writer. I think his name's Katie or something, but I'm just kind of like, all right.
Yeah, yeah. I highlighted my stuff, the good, the bad, and the average. And for DC, there's a lot that's in the below average category.
Yeah, I think we're feeling the same thing. It's just been kind of frustrating reading it.
There was only one that was at the point of, yeah, I really ought to think about dropping this book.
Which one was that?
Suicide Squad.
Oh, yeah. I dropped that. I would drop that.
I mean, I haven't made a decision yet. I mean, I like Ambush Bug. He just doesn't fit in well here. I don't know what's going on with this title or how it fits into the bigger things, but it seems to be a very self-involved title. Everything they're doing is because of Amanda Waller and doesn't seem to really connect to anything else. And there were some footnotes to other books, but they were done poorly. This may seem like a nitpick, but when you tell me it's happening over in Deathstroke, but the title you're actually referencing is Deathstroke Inc., that's annoying. You got the wrong title. Not a big deal now. We know what the current book is. Somebody looks at this thing 5-10 years from now, they're going to have a hell of a time finding which issue of Deathstroke it ties into, because it doesn't tie into any of them. It ties into Deathstroke Inc. And it ended on a cheap cliffhanger, and I'm like, yeah, it's not working for me.
Yeah, time to cut her loose.
It may be.
Yeah, see you later.
So, yeah, there was just a lot of stuff that I expect better out of than what I'm getting.
Yeah, I understand exactly what you mean, because I'm feeling the same thing. There's a few things that I did enjoy, and a few things that were good. And then, but the most of it, I was just kind of like, meh, or I actively didn't like it. I was like, what's going on here? Mm-hmm. So, just frustration.
Yeah. They need to step up their game at DC is what it comes down to.
I agree. So, fingers crossed Tom Taylor's a step in the right direction, but I don't know. I hope something good happens soon.
Well, it all comes down to this event they're implying is going to happen next year in 2022. Who's doing it? When's it going to come? And what's it going to be? And having this awkward lull between, you know, Infinite Frontiers miniseries. Well, first the Infinite Frontier Zero and its miniseries, and now the lull after it to whatever comes next. There's no momentum.
None at all. Yeah. It does. It feels like they're just kind of like biding time or just kind of wallowing there.
Yeah.
And that's always never a good spot, you know. You felt that a little bit with some of the X books. You know, Hickman's doing this, and then they just kind of held the status quo for a bit. Until mm-hmm. Hickman's next thing, and that frustrates me too sometimes, you know, like, but I'm feeling that across the board with DC. It's like, okay, let's get to where we're going and change it up because it's not working right now.
Yeah. We'll see what they do.
Yeah.
So over at Marvel, I got 18 comics for a total cover price of, I think, $74.82 or so.
And I received 27 Marvel comics, quite a bit more.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of stuff I'm sitting out these days.
Yeah.
So I think that's part of it.
Well, what are you enjoying from Marvel? Because actually there was two number ones, or actually three new number ones. No, four. I'm looking through my list. I just had different colorings for them. But I think you got one number one that you really hated. But was there anything that you liked?
We'll start with what I liked. For me, the best of the month, there was kind of a two picks for that. I couldn't decide between them.
Okay.
Dark Ages number 3 continues to be a good story. The stakes are rising. Things are flowing well. it's the same sort of push the characters to the edge sort of storyline, like in Justice Gods Among Us. It's Tom Taylor. I expect this. He's just now doing it over at Marvel, or for this story, because he's not going to be doing that long since he just won exclusive.
I agree. It's a fantastic story. I love it.
And then the other one that I really enjoyed was Sword number 10. I thought the reveal at the end was kind of cool. I'm curious to see where that goes.
Yeah, that was a good one. I agree with you on that one. So now, the number ones that came out, Venom number one came out, which has a new writer on it. And I will tell you this, I was like, I didn't care for it. Donny Cates was writing it before, and it was good. But now we went in a different direction, and we basically have Venom is like, or Eddie is a space god now. He's out there floating around. He's like the King of Black. He's out in space. His son's back on Earth. It just got really weird. And if this book stays on that trajectory, I'm going to get out. I'm done with it. But there is another number one that came out that I thought was really good. Black Panther number one.
Mm.
So it was a fantastic start. John Ridley's Black Panther. You know, you get espionage, politics, subterfuge, intrigue, romance, action. A lot's changed the Black Panther status quo. And I like where we're headed for now. It remains to be seen, you know, if it carries through the whole series. But I thought it was a strong start for a new number one.
Cool. Good to hear.
Yeah, so that one's really very fun. The one that I think was a step back was Hulk number one, which is Donny Cates, who's a very good writer. He followed up with that fantastic run by Abnett. And it's a completely different direction for the Hulk. It doesn't pick up from any of the previous run at all. So it's taken that whole thing where Banner's in charge. The Hulk's more like childlike in the psyche, and Banner antagonizes him to make him stronger, you know? So Banner's the evil one, that type of thing.
So did they just ignore everything that had gone before, or was there some kind of a segue into this?
I didn't see the segue, so it seems like this was just completely different, because the previous issue, there was dealing with a lot of things and the psyche and stuff like that. So I guess technically you could say, because it does tie in, but it feels so different. It doesn't feel like it.
The whole psyche and Banner and Hulk interacting and stuff, that's been in there since the Peter David era.
Yeah, it just feels completely different to me. It doesn't feel like the same thing. And I'll say I liked it, but I felt like it was a little bit of a step back, where normally Cates does better than the previous writer. So I don't think he did it this time.
Well, it sounds like there was a bit of whiplash in terms of story direction.
That's exactly what happened to me. I was like, whoa, this is different. And, you know, and so I'm just getting my footing, you know, and I'm like, okay, we got to go from here and see what's going to happen. I'll see if I really like it. But out of the new number ones, Black Panther was definitely the best.
Yeah, the number one I got was The Thing. It was set in some arbitrary point in the past. It just was all over the place. I came out of it thinking I should have skipped this miniseries.
Yeah, not good. And the thing is, I like Ben Grimm, but it's definitely something that probably, yeah, time to cancel it.
I mean, I'm a big fan of the character. I enjoyed him, obviously, in Fantastic Four, Marvel 2-in-1. His own book back in the day, and given what they're doing with the character currently, I'm like, there's a ton they could do, and it's just, this has no connection to the current Fantastic Four stuff.
Yeah, very true. It doesn't have anything to do with it, so it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Now, are you still reading the Symbiote Spider-Man Crossroads, the last issue of that?
Yes, I am.
Did you enjoy it?
I thought it was an okay end of the story. There were a couple of cliche moments and such. Yeah. One or two. It's like, yeah, I've seen that. It had some typical Peter David humor. Sometimes that works better for me than others. There's one panel in particular. It's like, dude, you can argue you're doing an homage or a riff or something like that. It's like, no, you're just ripping off somebody else's moment.
Yeah. I thought it was good. Not great, but good.
Yeah. And it was acceptable. It was average. It was good enough that I wouldn't feel like I should drop the title, but not one that I should say, wow, you've got to go read it. You know what I mean?
Definitely not. Now, one that I thought was really strong, which I know you're not getting, is Savage Avengers number 26.
Mm-hmm.
So it started as almost like a Conan team up with different Avengers characters at times. And now it's basically moved on to Kulan Goth, which is a wizard that he always fought, you know, in the Conan books,
mm-hmm.
has basically destroyed the world. Almost destroyed the world, taking it over, you know, apocalypse, you know, the worst apocalypse you can think of in the future. There's a huge battle between Conan, Dr. Doom, Dr. Strange, other magical characters, and it's just gotten way bigger than I ever would have expected. But I've been enjoying it. I thought it was terrific.
Cool.
It's just a lot of fun. And the other one that you didn't get, which I thought was really, really good, was Thor number 19. It's something that I would have given an A. The hammer has been stolen. Thor needs to lean on some others to help find out where it is. And you get some family stuff that happens there. And I just loved the start of this arc. And, you know, what happened at the end was kind of like, wow, it's a wild moment. I was like, this is a good start to a new arc.
Cool.
Yeah, so I'm still enjoying Thor. That's Donny Cates, too.
Yeah. That's good to hear. Glad you're still liking it.
Yeah. Anything else that you're liking?
Kang the Conqueror number 4. I thought that was a fun look at Kang, and it's doing a great job of really fleshing him out as a character and such, a lot more than, frankly, most of his prior appearances probably have.
I agree. Kang is a fun book. It jumps around all over the place, literally all over time.
Mm-hmm.
But it's enjoyable seeing Kang, you know, like having to deal with Kang, you know?
Yeah.
Just
he's
a lot
the
of
hero
fun.
And the villain.
All at the same time.
Well, not the same time, sort of. Concurrently in the same time. I don't know, yeah.
Yeah. But I think that's a good book.
Yeah. For me, the majority of the stuff I got from Marvel this time fell into that middle of the road, even good read, but not brilliant, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I know what you mean. Was there anything that you really didn't like?
We talked about the thing. The other one that just wasn't quite what I expected and didn't really work for me was the X-Force Killshot Anniversary Special.
Oh, yeah. That was kind of not good.
I mean, on the one hand, it was more or less what I expected because it's a Rob Liefeld book, a lot of chaotic action, and an issue that doesn't make a whole lot of sense. But it was a lot of chaotic action that didn't make a lot of sense, and I was expecting a team-up, an intersection, I should say, of 6 different X-Force rosters, and there were a couple where who was on the team wasn't exactly clear, and some of them, it's like, have we ever seen these characters before?
Who is this?
It was shocking on all the wrong ways.
Yeah, I know what you mean by that. Yeah, I kind of felt that too. Did you already drop off of Iron Man?
I am still getting it. That's one of those books I've been getting for forever and a day.
Me too.
But I have lost track of how long the storyline has been going on, and it's not bad, but it's just never ending.
Never ending. It got really heavy into some things. Like, we had someone on the Slack channel asking us, how is this Iron Man run? I'm like, I felt like the title's gone off the rails, especially like this Power Cosmic thing. I'm like, what the heck is going on with this? It's just bizarre.
It's bizarre. It's not where I think this title should go, but the execution of the story, well, the story's gone off the rails. The execution is good.
It's good. That's the weird thing. It's written well.
You know, it'd be like having a really good chef make you a meal that nobody would want to eat, just conceptually, regardless of how well it's cooked.
Exactly. Peanut butter and ice cream. The best chef in the world isn't going to make it taste good.
Yeah.
Maybe. Or, no, that's actually could be good. I got to think of something worse.
But you know what I mean. Something that on the face of it, who would eat that?
Yes.
And generally everyone would say, yeah, nobody.
Yeah.
You know, I don't care if you're the best at it, but, you know, come on.
Yeah. So it's just, that's what I would say. He writes it well. It's drawn well. It's just, I don't care what they're writing right now. And I wish they would just take it somewhere else. Like, let's go to where Tony can actually get out of the suit and be Tony, you know, versus frozen in the suit.
The fact that we're dealing with Tony is a change from some of the issues we'd gotten recently.
Yeah.
He was barely in the book.
Very true.
So, I mean, they're doing long-form storytelling here, and they're doling it out 20 pages a month for, again, I don't know how long this arc has been going on.
A while.
Because it's more than just what they're going to collect into a trade paperback, because this flows straight into the next one and out of the last one and such. I'm not sure that they've had a clean break anywhere in this run yet. And I'm not saying that they necessarily need to have 6 issues, clean break, move on, because I think that's kind of bad in and of itself. But the difference between this kind of never-ending saga and the ones from like the 80s that I really enjoyed is 14 issues in, he'd have fought at least a dozen different people.
Yeah.
Probably 2 dozen different people at this point. Some might be little minor nobodies, but we'd have gotten a lot more story at this point.
Yeah, 14 issues, and basically we've had one antagonist through the whole thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, we're getting a lot of that person, right?
Well, and some major digressions at times, sidetracking from it.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just ready for it to switch directions, go somewhere else, because the writer can write. He's a decent writer. He's a good writer. He writes well. It's just, all right, now tell me a story that I actually want to read.
I don't even need it to go somewhere else. I just need it to go somewhere.
Yeah, go somewhere. Quit plotting on.
Yeah. Trying to think what else there was that really stood out. And again, a lot of it was good, but nothing that, you know, just was amazing.
Yeah, like I'm looking at, I think Miles Morales is still a solid book. Anybody who wants another Spider-Man book, if you're not liking Amazing, read Miles Morales. It's good. It's been, ever since the Clone Saga, I got back on it. I've enjoyed every issue that I've read. So I think mm-hmm. it's good. But The Amazing Spider-Man's just been kind of like, it's coming out quick. And I do regret getting the BEY Beyond issues, which
yeah.
is just, that's kind of annoying. 78 BEYs. Like, all right, I've had enough of this already. We only got one issue.
Yeah, I should probably just stop getting those. I'm not even sure what to call those things.
Yeah, they have that weird, like, letter stuff. They've done it before.
Oh, yeah, and it annoyed me then, too.
Yeah, and it's a completely different story. It has nothing to do with Amazing Spider-Man. And I'm like, why not just create a miniseries, call it with these characters, you know, or whatever?
Because it wouldn't sell as well.
Very true.
If this had been Daughters of the Dragon Beyond or whatever, Beyond Daughters of the Dragon or whatever, it would sell half what this probably sold.
Because all the Amazing Spider-Man fans are picking it up.
Maybe not all. There are probably some that are smarter than me. Probably quite a few.
Yeah. But that was the frustrating thing about Amazing Spider-Man. I mean, the main story's doing what it's doing. It's still dealing with what it's dealing with. But that BEY, I was just like, eh, I don't like that one.
I think the two real issues were very middle chapter-y. Not bad, just not loving the take on Ben. And again, this is long-form storytelling. Whereas the Beyond issue, a decent roller coaster ride for the Daughters of the Dragon. Mainly action, not a ton of plot or character moments, though.
I agree. Yeah. So, yeah, that's kind of where I am.
One other I do want to talk about, though, is, yeah. And I'm pretty sure you read this, would be Excalibur.
Oh, yeah. Excalibur. I did read it.
I read that, and I'm like, I'm not sure who Tom Lennox is or why I should care.
Yeah.
And I did a little research, and apparently he was just resurrected having died in Mighty World of Marvel number 9, a Marvel UK title from 1984.
Which I never read, I'm sure.
Which I've never read.
So I was just saying, I'm like, who is this? I didn't go and look it up. I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe
well,
I'll...
Clearly it was a known quantity to the characters in the story.
Yeah, they knew
and
who he was.
I think I'm decently read on the Marvel Universe. In around 1984, I'm trying to think how deep I was in, but I mean, let's face it, in the intervening decades, I've been pretty much all in for the majority of it.
And you had no clue who that was.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty obscure. And I'm just not enjoying that title. It just gets a little bit weird at times. I think it's just Teeny Howard. I don't like, is it Tiny or Teeny?
No idea.
I don't know. Whoever that Howard person is, Teeny or Tiny, I don't like them. I don't know if that's a guy or a girl. I honestly have no clue.
Yeah. I just think pulling a character who died in 84, that's what, almost 40 years ago?
Yeah, that's a deep cut.
That's obscure.
Yeah, I was like, okay, move on. This makes no sense to me. I just kind of like breezed over that part.
Yeah. And the other thing that was just kind of weird was over in X-Force 25.
Uh-huh.
What is it with mutant babies getting stolen?
Oh, yeah. They've been doing that for a while.
Didn't we just have that storyline in Cable not all that long ago?
We did. It was a big Cable thing. So that's become a thing now. I don't understand why it's a thing. But it's a thing.
And it's a funny thing, given that typically you can identify a mutant when they activate or whatever at puberty.
Yeah.
So being able to detect it at birth and do it, I guess, remotely enough, you can go steal the babies or something. I don't know. I mean, it was a decent overall issue. I like the stuff with Quentin. The Wolverine stuff felt a little strange, but yeah. Whatever.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, you're not getting Moon Knight, right?
I am not getting Moon Knight.
I will tell you, issue 5 was pretty deep. It was a good issue, you know, Moon Knight, you know, personality stuff, but it didn't really go into that. It went into the deep dive into violence and his personality split, why he's kind of so violent because of that. So it all goes back to, like, basically almost like his religious upbringing.
Mm.
You know, like, he's of Jewish heritage, But here he is. He's basically working with a moon god from the pantheon of Egypt, and the whole abandonment of that thing. So it got really deep, and I thought, man, I was like, well, yeah, they gave you a gut punch with this one. So kind of cool. I didn't expect it.
Interesting. Okay, good to know.
Yeah, so Moon Knight number 5 was a pretty deep story, and I thought it was just like, wow, that's one of those ones I would not have expected. You know, you get those shallow things, you don't expect to get those deep things that come out of comics at Marvel, typically.
Yeah, yeah. Anything else over at Marvel?
Nah, that about does it for me. Let's go to the indie section.
All right, for the other comics, I think I got 19 comics for a total cover price of $76.81.
This is where I always get too many. I received 34 comics. This is where I always beat you.
Oh, yeah. It's easy to do in this area.
Yeah, but this is where I am doing a lot of the cuts, you know, by the colors and the things. And one thing I did want to ask you, you know, before you get into your favorite, I saw you made a special trip and you picked up Joy Operation in one of your videos that you asked Eric to pick it up for you. Did you like that?
I have not read that because I got that with my December stuff.
Oh, okay. I saw the video, but it came out in November. So, okay, that's why. All right, never mind.
No, it should have come out just last week, I think.
Oh, I put a November date for my reading of it.
Well, you probably got it in November. I ordered it late. I basically was going through not the current previews, but the last one. And when I was putting my order together, I'm like, well, that looks interesting.
Oh, okay. All right.
And it's like, oh, it's like issue 2 or 3 they were soliciting. I'm like, okay, 3. And let me do some research. And oh, it's by Bendis. It looks interesting. And it flew beneath my radar. I didn't notice it for when it first came through the solicits.
Well, I don't want to talk about it until next time because I don't want to skew it or spoil anything for you. So go ahead and just tell me what you think next month when we do the monthly spotlight. Okay. I'll remember what I thought.
Well, you've got better memory than I do because by the time we talk about the December books, I will have forgotten having read the November books. I mean, I'm halfway there now.
All right. I put a few notes, so I'll pull that up and I'll remember.
Cool.
All right. So what did you like? What did you get that was good?
Let's see. The best of the month for me in this group was Telepaths number 3.
Oh, yeah. That was good.
Things were heating up quite literally. We now have pyrokinetics and telekinetics in addition to telepaths. So maybe that wasn't the right name for the title. Don't know. Just saying.
Yeah.
But I'm enjoying it. It's well done, but it's Straczynski, so I expect that.
Yeah, I thought it was really good, and I wasn't expecting the firepower,
pyrokinetics.
Pyrokinetics, yeah. I wasn't expecting that.
There's no reason to. It says telepaths. The premise is people can read minds. That's enough.
I know, so I was like, huh.
Amp it up to other mental powers was, again, unexpected, but it made sense how that all worked.
I agree, yeah. Did you like Orville Artifacts number 2? I think you had enjoyed that. I thought it was pretty solid.
I thought it was a good issue, and it continues to capture the feel of the show really well.
It really does.
I'm looking forward to a third season. This helps tide me over.
It does with me, too. That's what I was just thinking, because I was so sad when I was done with, you know, watching the Orville all again on Hulu.
Mm-hmm.
And but now that I'm reading these comics, I'm like, okay, they give you enough here and there to satiate the hunger. It's very true to the story, the voices and everything, because they have the screenwriters writing the comic. And so going to the TV show, I can't wait. I'm ready.
I may try to rewatch the first 2 seasons shortly before the 3rd one airs, I watch the 3rd one, because that may be... I've started getting in the habit with some shows of letting them stockpile.
Yeah. Just kind of like comics. It actually sometimes makes it a little bit easier and a little more fun to watch.
Yeah.
Yeah, that binging thing like you get with Netflix, you know, it's always more fun. Like right now they have those new series coming out on Disney Plus. I'm not watching them until they're done. Then I'm going to watch them all at once. Boom. Done.
Yeah, that's pretty much the habit I've gotten into, although there's sometimes a delay between them finishing and me actually watching it. But
yeah,
I'm going to record on it with my sister, so there's scheduling issues.
Yeah. Hey, now another one that I know that you received, and I'm curious how you like the ending, or Fight Girls number 5?
I was wondering if you were going to ask about that.
There's a little grotesque.
It was great art, but frankly, a disappointing end to the series. I mean, it felt like a bit of a Shaggy Dog story of it just took forever. And I'm like, that's where it ended? That's how it ended?
I was surprised at the ending. I was like, whoa, all that. And then, like, I was a little bit let down with the ending, but I am excited that I think we are going to see more of it in the future.
I was really disappointed with the ending.
Yeah, Yeah, the off. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything. I don't want to spoil it, but the story was great up until how it ended, which I thought felt a little bit shallow.
I think the first four issues were really solid. I think there were parts of this one that were really solid, but the way they chose to say, you know, to wrap things up, to end it in the, they not only didn't stick the landing, I think they completely fumbled it.
Yeah, I don't disagree with you there, because the ending was not what I wanted to see. But I thought that was kind of grotesque what they did in there. I was like, ugh.
Yeah.
That's not fun.
It was not only not satisfying, it was blatantly unsatisfying.
Yeah, I can't disagree.
I expect better out of Frank Cho.
Now, I'm going through the ones that I know that you picked that I have on my list, because I, of course, get more. You got Knighted, number one, which I started to talk about in our October spotlight because I read it ahead of time. You actually read it this time in the correct one.
I did.
What did you think of it?
It was an okay issue. The premise seems to rely on superpowered beings having been around a while, and this is set in the Resistance world.
Yeah.
And I don't know how much time has elapsed there. And, you know, the Knight having had the time, the super tech and all that to get set up to become, you know, essentially the Batman of this world.
Yep.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, it's interesting, but the premise just doesn't really work if you stop and think about it, given the rest of this narrative world.
Exactly. It's almost like this story has to take place far in the future or something like that for it to make sense.
Not even far in the future, but a few years in the future.
Yeah. So I do like the Pennyworth analog that they have in there.
I think I can see the twist ending coming.
Ah, okay. All right.
I don't think this is just the second Knight.
Ah, all right. Cool. Now I'm interested to see if that comes true.
Yeah, maybe it will, maybe it won't. I only had an issue to go on, so, you know. But it was, I like the concept. I think the execution could have and should have been better.
Yeah. No, I get what you're saying.
It kept me entertained. I'll stick around to see where it goes.
Yeah, I'm sticking on it, too. One that I know, I don't think you got, but I did get, you didn't get Magic Order Volume 2, did you?
Yes, I did, actually.
Oh, you did? Okay, what did you think of that?
I think I'd completely forgotten where the first miniseries left off, but it didn't seem to matter too much for this issue.
That's exactly how I felt. I was like, he took way too long between arcs, because that previous book came out, I don't know, 2 or 3 years ago.
That's standard for Mark Millar.
Yeah, but this one was really good. I think the Magic Order will read excellent when the people who wait for trade paperbacks or whatever get them all together as a set and read them back to back.
I think so, because I didn't think a ton happened in this issue.
Not a ton, but it's just so far, so long ago, I can't remember who's who. I remember the general premise of how it ended.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think it's solid and it's good, but I'm just like a little bit disappointed that it took so long to come out. And it makes me almost take that I hate to say this, but a lot of books, I think it's better if, hey, if this is going to be your thing, Mark Millar, or Miller, whatever, however you want to say his name, maybe I should just wait until you're done with the entire series and then read it, you know, and not pick up the single issues.
Well, I think there's reading the whole thing in one installment, but I think when he revisits a property, he needs to treat it as, you know, a season premiere of a later season of a TV show kind of a thing, where you've got to reintroduce us to stuff.
Yeah.
And it did an okay issue, or a good okay job with that in that issue, but it wasn't one where I came out thinking, wow, I should go reread the first one. It's when you have that long of a period of time between, you know, seasons, volumes, you know, whether it's a TV show, a bunch of novels, or volumes of a comic or whatever, you've got to assume that everybody else has kind of moved on in their lives.
Yeah.
So give us a fighting chance to get back into your story world. It behooves you to do so.
I agree. I agree with you completely. So I was a little bit disappointed. If he's going to take that long, please give me a recap of some kind. Don't just throw me in the deep end. That happened with the family of superhero books, that one that just
Jupiter's
failed.
Jupiter's Legacy.
Yeah, that just failed.
I don't know that he's got to do a like a previously on kind of a thing, and I'd recommend against it. I just think the first installment has to assume that not everybody is familiar with the property.
Yeah, because I was reading that last installment of Jupiter's Legacy, and honestly, I can't remember anything, and I just felt so lost. And I had actually read the books, so I can't imagine not having read the books.
Yeah,
and trying to jump into it, I'm like, it's too long. Too far away from the original source material.
I don't even remember when the first Jupiter's Legacy stuff came out. That was so long ago.
Yeah, long time ago. Well, can I tell you a couple things that were good?
Sure.
Unless you have anything you want to...
No, go ahead.
Okay, Vampirella number 25, I think, ended Vampirella with Christopher Priest, but they're going into this thing called Unholy, where Vampirella and Dracula are getting married. That's not a spoiler, because it's been solicited like two or three issues already, but it ended with that, so it was a good ending to Priest's run on the main Vampirella book, and this was one of the few that I really enjoyed, because the other ones were kind of written obtuse. They weren't as engaging. I thought this last issue he did really well. And then one thing that came out, which I thought was kind of weird, we got a book called What's the Furthest Place from Here? It's a new number one.
Mm-hmm.
And it was written by Matt Rosenberg. And isn't he the guy who went to Substack and got everyone to go to Substack? Is that him?
I don't remember.
I can't remember, but I thought he was involved in that. If that's, or no, that was, I think it is Rosenberg. But if it's him, because he was writing Spider-Man before, wasn't he?
There have been so many people who have written Spider-Man. Sure, why not? I don't remember.
I can't remember. But anyways, I was just surprised this is a new number one. But it's kind of like, I guess you could say, a post-apocalyptic future type thing with young kids. Very weird. The art is very indie. But I thought it was pretty fun. I enjoyed it. Good read. I was just surprised to see it. It was something that you get like 60 pages for $3.99. So good read. You get your money's worth with a book.
Definitely seems like a good value for that page count at that price.
Yeah. And before I go into other things I liked, is there anything else that you really wanted to point out?
Moth number 6, I thought, was a good issue for ending the series. And I want to be careful how I phrase that, because I didn't really understand the end of the issue.
It was weird, wasn't it?
I don't know that we were expected to.
Me neither. He got really, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, he got very into the emotions and the impact with this character being gone, stuff like that. And it just got kind of bizarre the way it ended. And with those people on the other side, I was like, what are we seeing? Is this what I think it is, or what I'm supposed to think it is? I don't know.
I'm curious where this universe is going.
Yes. That was very weird.
And I'm curious, what title is the next installment in this?
Me too. I need to know more, because the way it ended, it was very bizarre and leaves a lot of questions.
I think the misstep they did was, didn't this series overlap with Resistance Volume 2 or whatever it was?
Yes, it did.
I think they should be getting it to where maybe there's a month or two breather between, but by the time this ended, we should have already known what was coming up next.
Yep.
To be able to stay engaged with the universe.
I agree. But it was good. It was a good ending. It was just very weird. Mm-hmm. I didn't know how to take it.
Yeah.
I'm right there with you. I'm like, what am I supposed to feel? What is this supposed to be? Hmm.
Another one I liked was Time Before Time.
I'm not getting that.
Time travel story continues to be a good read. I just am curious how long of a story they've got planned out. And I'll admit there are times where they've got things going at different time periods. That it all kind of sort of connects, because it's dealing like with a temporal cartel, and it's a little hard to keep track at some points, but it's not like I've got to keep all the chess pieces clear in my mind, because that's their job, but I'm liking it. It's fun.
Cool. Did you get the Blue Baron thing from Binge Books?
I did.
Did you like it?
Yeah, it was good. It really reminds me of kind of the MC2 line of titles.
Me too.
It's not derivative of it, but it's got that tone, that style, that feel to it. And, I mean, these are fun stories, suitable for all ages, and there's just a ton of story in every issue.
A ton of material for, like, a very low entry price, like $3.99, and you get, like, 56 pages or something like that.
Was it $3.99 or $4.99?
Maybe it's $4.99, but it's still just a ton of material.
Well, yeah, even $4.99, again, like you said, it's 64 pages of story and such.
Yeah.
So, yeah, they're doing some good stuff there.
Yeah, really good, and they definitely give you your money's worth. So, applause for them. And then I'll tell you some other things I thought were good. Sumerian Beyond the Black River, which is from Ablaze, it's a translation of European comics. Really good. Conan uses his guile to win the day. In the Pictish Wilderness, some stuff happens. There was a new series that came out called Laura Number One. It's a good story. It's not like a superhero thing at all. It's about love, depression, moving on in life. It's so different from anything that I'm reading that I enjoy it, which I know sounds weird, but
no, I totally understand that, yeah.
Yeah, you get used to reading the same thing over and over, and this is just so different. And I'm like, wow, I like that because it's so different. Not All Robots, I did enjoy it. The fourth issue, I think we got one more. It's almost over. a bit on the nose some of the times, you know, with the weapons and things being replaced, but I like the title as a whole. But this one I thought was not as good as the other.
Yeah, this issue didn't go quite how I thought it would, and it felt a little obvious in some respects in terms of I was expecting, I don't say something, not something deeper, but you know what I mean, something
yeah,
a little more clever. It's like, oh, they said they were going this way, so it's like, surely they're not. It's got to go this way. Instead, no, it went that way.
Hey, telegraph that punch. Boom, there it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the thing that disappointed me about it. I was like, okay, that's not as strong as the other issues.
It comes down to, can they land the end of the series?
Yeah, correct. Two other ones that I really enjoyed, Out Number 2, which is also from AWA. It's still good. It's not a werewolf book, I would say, which I thought it was.
Okay.
Creatures Emerge. A Navajo translator plays center stage, which is kind of cool. People are trying to escape from the Nazis that are keeping them in. But good, different book. That's all I'll say about that. Primordial Number 3 is weird but good. That's the one where the dog and the monkey from the U.S. and Russia get lost in space.
Right, right.
It's kind of cool because they're becoming friends. And they're talking to each other. But at the same time, I'm like, what the hell is going on?
Yeah.
I know there's one more issue, but I'm like, it's just very, it's a bizarre book, but at the same time, interesting, but bizarre. And then one other one that they said was like Department of Truth. They said, oh, it's just like Department of Truth regarding the matter of Oswald's body, number one from Boom. So I picked it up and I recommended it on the previous spotlight. So the book opens with people digging up the grave of Oswald,
mm-hmm.
and the crowds are trying to see. There's a conspiracy over, you know, he wasn't dead and he's not in the grave. And so then you move into the, like, a recruitment thing of an eclectic team. That's what I wrote. I'm like, what did I put, an electric team? I need to wear my glasses. No, an eclectic team with a nice twist. So there was like this nice cast of characters that they threw together, but they're kind of weird. It was intriguing. It's not as good as Department of Truth, but that just kind of gives you like an opening about what's going on.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so it's supposed to be like Department of Truth, but it's only 5 issues, so it's not a long story.
Cool.
Yeah, those are ones I really liked. Was there anything that you hated or you're getting rid of?
There's one that I'm really undecided on. We actually got 2 issues of it this month, and it's Radiant Black.
Oh, so you were talking about maybe getting rid of that.
Issue number 9 was just a slow issue. It was more kind of quote-unquote character building, which effectively stalled out the rest of the story. And I'm like, come on. And then the other one came 2 weeks after that with number 10, and it was kind of a surreal issue. And, I mean, I was wanting and expecting a bit more of a Power Rangers or Super Sentai sort of a story than this series really has been for me, which is kind of funny because I think Drew flat out said on the Slack channel, he's dropping it because it's too Power Rangers or Super Sentai-ish.
Ah.
Power Rangers, I think, was him. I don't think he's the least bit familiar with Super Sentai, but I could be wrong on that. Of course, I don't know how familiar he is with Power Rangers either. And it's going to cross over. Matter of fact, it's in the latest previews that just came out with Supermassive and Inferno Girl Red or Rogue Sun or, I don't know, something of that sort.
Something like that, yeah.
And it's like, I really enjoy this branch of tokusatsu, which is essentially, you know, live-action superhero-type stuff in Japan, although it's not literally what the term translates to. But what they're doing with Radiant Black is it's a very solo hero focus on a genre that's very team-oriented.
Ah, okay.
I mean, imagine getting something that you think is your standard kind of a PI story, and it's about this monolithic detective agency.
Yeah.
You're expecting a solo PI. It's like, it may be great, but it's not what you're expecting. This is almost the exact inverse.
You're like, that doesn't work for me. That's not what I thought I was getting into.
And there have been a couple of issues, like 9, where it's like, you're focusing on this, but you did that a time or two back, and it really didn't pan out.
Ah, all right.
But I'm probably going to get the Supermassive or whatever the crossover thing is with the other 2 stuff, sample those, and make a decision after that.
Okay. Maybe gone or it may stay on, depending on how that goes.
It'll stay on until then, and then maybe I'll just transition to another title. Maybe I'll keep them all. Maybe I'll drop them all. I don't know.
Well, I'll tell you, there's 2 that I'm definitely I canceled. One is Newbern Number 1. It's Chip Zdarsky. It was like his crime noir type thing. And it was just so slow and boring and did not work for me. I'm like, saw him out. It may turn into something great. Some people may love it, but it was not for me. Hated it. And then the other one that I really thought they killed the book was Stillwater, which I think Chip Zdarsky does that too.
Mm.
But what happened with Stillwater, they did a time jump. So issues 1 through 5, you're dealing with a story, really cool concept. You know, people live in this town, they never die, but they never age. You know, like, so kids are kids for 52 years, you know?
Uh-huh.
So it's weird. That's the whole premise of the book. And then the next 5 issues, you know, power struggle ensues and this and that. And then issue 11, which was the newest issue, they do a time jump and nothing makes sense anymore. You're like, what's going on? Where it just gave you whiplash. So, hey, let's jump into the future and everything's different and all the characters you liked are gone. Everyone's gone.
Generally speaking, time jumps in stories annoy the hell out of me.
Yep.
I can only think of one TV show where they did that, and I understood exactly why they kind of had to do a time jump, and the way they actually did it worked well for me. I mean, I still would have liked to have seen the intervening time, which is my usual beef with it, but I kind of had to give them a pass because it's like, I get why you rolled story forward, you know, as much as they did.
Yeah, I was really disappointed because it makes me almost not want to read the book anymore if this is where they're going to keep it, because I don't think they're going to go back to all the characters I enjoyed and what I knew. So why stick with it? So I'm thinking about putting it down.
I can understand that. I mean, the risks of doing a time jump, depending how you do it, how far you go, is you can lose touch with the characters you had been following. Maybe they're not in the story, or maybe they've changed or whatever. If they're still there and they've changed, to me, it is a crazy writing crutch of, I got bored with them how they were, and I wanted them to be this other way, so now they are. It's just been times elapsed.
Yeah.
And it's like they didn't earn the character growth, the change, and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's just frustration more than anything, because when I've been reading a book, and I'm up to the 11th issue, for me to open it up and be like, what's going on? Who are all these people? I don't know what I'm reading. And then I was like, what? And so I happened to be listening to iFanboy, and they talked about it, and the same thing. They're like, I was liking this book. What happened to it? I was like, man, so it's not just me.
Well, let's take Saga as a potential example. I have no idea what they're going to do when they bring the book back.
Yeah.
But it's been long enough since it's been away that doing a time jump in the story is certainly a possibility.
Yeah, they could do it because it's been gone so long.
And there's an argument that maybe they should do it because it's been gone so long. But either way, they need to treat that next issue, 55 or whatever it is, as if it were a number one and, you know, reintroduce people to the story. I was going to say us, but I didn't pre-order it. I'm not going to. You lost me as a reader
when
you stopped publishing the book.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I can't remember what happened in issue 54. I literally can't. And I don't want to go digging for 54 issues to try and get caught up. I just don't want to do that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So frustrating. I wish they wouldn't have done that, but they better come up with a good way to get people caught up. Fingers crossed.
Hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that was my frustrations. There's some stuff that's kind of like mad. There's things that I get and I don't know why I get it. It's good enough. It's like almost like eating a cheeseburger. You probably shouldn't get it. I probably shouldn't do it. But I just keep getting it because I always have. I don't know.
So junk food comics is what you're saying?
Yeah, like some of them, like Invincible Red Sonja. I'm not enjoying it that much, but I just keep getting it. I don't know. There's something wrong with me.
Well, I'll admit there's some stuff I'm getting more out of inertia than anything else.
Yeah, it happens. And so that's where I almost like, I think it gets to a point where the storage or the budget becomes a factor. It would be an easy one to cut.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those things that if I really had to cut back on my comics right now, it would probably be crazy easy to do that.
I'm feeling that too, because there's a lot of stuff that I was like, I keep feeling like, oh, I could get rid of this, or I could get rid of this publisher. I've thought about publishers, and you've done that before.
Oh, yeah. For the longest time, when I was getting a crazy amount, I would not cut titles. I would cut publishers or imprints.
Yeah. Like there's one that I cut, Valiant. Valiant wasn't a bad writer. They didn't have a bad lineup. I enjoyed the books. But what happened was, during the comic shutdown and everything, I did those pre-order things, packages.
Yeah, yeah.
They never sent them. And then, like, a year later, all of a sudden, I get all these comics, and I'm like, I've been checked out for, like, 2 years now. And I'm just like, I don't feel the need to get back in. Because they stopped the habit for me. So I'm like, it was an easy thing to cut, and I don't feel like I want to delve back into that, all that.
That was the thing I don't think Valiant really understood, and I don't know when they lost sight of it, but the comics are a habitual buying pattern. And when they would do Harbinger for a little bit and then stop it, and then, you know, Bloodshot would come in for a little bit and they'd stop that, or Archer and Armstrong for a little bit and they'd stop that, or
yep,
Live Wires or whatever else the other stuff was, Faith and stuff like that, they'd come, they'd do something, and they'd be gone for 6 months to a year.
Yep. Over and over.
Yeah. Now, if they had gone from Archer and Armstrong to Eternal Warrior to Time Walker and then kind of rotated between the three, well, they're all brothers. You could reference them in the other books, and it would at least give me a potential through line or something.
But it wasn't. It was just completely different characters and book. And that's what I experienced. So, like, I felt like I've fallen off, and I didn't miss it. And so that's where I was like, okay, when I didn't have it and I didn't miss it, I could probably do that again. Like, I know for a fact I could cut out Dynamite right now, even though I like stuff that Dynamite does. I like Red Sonja. But I think after, like, 4 or 5 months of that, I probably wouldn't even miss it. I'd be like, oh, yeah, Red Sonja, I haven't read that in a while. Hope Marvel gets a license back one day. Maybe I'll pick it up again.
Dynamite fell off for me when they stopped doing whatever the last title I was getting was, because they were going more for properties I just didn't care for, versus when they had The Boys or Project Superpowers or like the $6 Million Man or some of those properties.
Well, I feel like they've gone the Boundless direction. That's a horrible analogy, because Boundless is like the porno comics for Avatar. But I feel like they've gone to all those bad girl comics.
They've definitely gone with the bad girl stuff, yeah.
And the sexy covers. And I'm like, okay, I don't need 3 Vampirella titles. I don't need 3 Red Sonja titles along with Betty Page and whoever the other. There's tons of them out there. I'm just like, so, okay, I get the shtick. I see what you're doing. I've just been picking up Red Sonja. At this point, I'm like, the stories are okay. But I'm like, you're just, it's like sex sells. I'm like, I don't need that, you know?
Yeah, there's not been much from Dynamite in a while that's interested me. Other than Orville, there hasn't been a whole lot from Dark Horse either.
Yeah, Dark Horse has dried up.
Well, it's dried up, but like with Boom, once you get past Power Rangers, and we didn't get 7 Secrets this month, that's, I think, the other thing I'm getting from them. There's just a lot of these publishers, there's not a ton I'm getting from them. And, well, IDW, Usagi, and Star Trek.
Yeah. And the shocking thing about IDW, which it doesn't really pertain to the monthly comic spotlight, is they've gotten rid of like 5 or 6 of their popular licensed books. And
well, let's be careful how we phrase that. Did they get rid of them, or did they lose them, or did they not renew them? I mean,
they must have lost them somehow. I don't know what happened, but I'm just like, what are they going to replace those? Are they not going to replace the books? I don't know what they're going
to
do.
Well, I mean, they've got a couple of things that I think they're going to hang on to for quite some time. And other stuff, yeah, they may decide it's not worth it to renew it, or they're not able to renew it, or whatever. I do want to quibble a little with the term they lost something, because that implies it was, like, taken away from them.
Correct. Yeah, correct. And we don't know the details. We honestly don't. It's just, there was, like, 5 or 6, and it was, like, almost back-to-back-to-back that they all just kind of, the licenses left IDW, and I'm like, I know they have Star Trek, I know they have My Little Pony, I know they have Orville, and beyond that, I don't know much.
Don't they also have Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles?
They have that, and they have the Usagi stuff.
And I don't see Usagi or Turtles leaving them.
Me neither. But that's kind of slim pickings. If you're not a fan of one of those 5, that's kind of like what's left, it feels like. Other than maybe some indie things that they might come out with, I don't know.
That's true, but I think IDW, as with many of these other publishers, Boom and Dark Horse included, have gone through various phases where their lineup from what it was 1 year and what it is 5 years later is fairly different.
Yeah.
And we were seeing some stuff on the Slack channel of, oh, IDW's gonna close down. They've lost this. They're done. It's like, didn't people say that with Dark Horse when they lost Star Wars?
That was me. Yeah, it's true. And they're still going strong.
I mean, maybe not as strong as they were when they had Star Wars, certainly, but I mean, they're still going. And these companies are a bit more resilient than they're sometimes given credit for.
Very true. Very true. They'll figure out what they want to do, but I think there is something to when a licensed property goes to a company, let's say IDW, Dark Horse, Marvel, whoever. I would say the worst example is probably Dynamite. Dynamite strip mines the property. They print 5, 6 different titles over and over, this and that, and this and that, and this and that. And there's kind of like that diminishing sales thing that happens over time.
Mm-hmm.
And at some point, they're just like, this license, we've used it, we're done with it. And they move on to the next thing.
But it's possible that given the cost of the license, they kind of have to do that.
They might have to, exactly.
I mean, if you get the license for a year and you can crank out as much as you can crank out in that time frame, maybe that makes it worthwhile. I don't know.
Yeah, I heard an interesting thing from Matt Hawkins one time. Top Cow licensed Battlestar Galactica way back in the day.
Mm-hmm.
And they wrote a series, and it became very popular. And it came up for the renewal, and he's like, yeah, this is a great title for us. Let's do this. And they wanted like 10 times the amount or something ridiculous. He's like,
yeah,
we're what made it popular. Why are you taking us to the cleaners? You know, what's going on here? So they're like, oh, yeah, look at this great job you did. Now pay us 10 times the amount. Now, so they dropped it immediately, of course.
Well, you look at Hasbro and how they've partnered really well with Boom Power Rangers. You know, they're doing some good stuff there, and it's beneficial for both sides. And there have been other properties that have gotten finally a foothold into comics, done okay, and then either the publisher couldn't execute on it, or I don't know what happens, but it just doesn't last long. Stargate,
yep.
There is no reason we couldn't have a line of Stargate titles continuing and rebuilding kind of that franchise from what it was back in its heyday on TV.
Exactly.
You know? But I don't know if MGM just hasn't had the wherewithal or understanding of the comics market to do that or something.
Yeah, who knows?
There are a lot of properties that I think there is either opportunity for it being adapted into other mediums, and let's face it, adapting into comics, pretty cheap as far as everything goes.
Probably, yeah, one of the cheapest.
Yeah, or other merchandising opportunities that it's like, man, you've missed the boat on this. I don't get it.
I agree. Yeah. It sometimes it's surprising.
Yeah.
To say the least. But overall, my indie stuff, it is getting trimmed a little bit here and there. And some of the stuff, I'm just kind of letting it peter out, and I'm just getting it because I get it, inertia. But there was some good things on there.
Yeah. I mean, for me, overall this month, a lot of the stuff, again, it was more or less a three-way split between the good, the bad, the average, or whatever. When I say average, that's skewed a little to the high side in terms of it's not dead center, because there's some stuff, it's getting to where if you're at that baseline of competence, that's not enough for me anymore.
Exactly.
But I do need to really take a closer look at some of the stuff I'm letting onto my pull list and kind of question that a little bit more.
Yeah, I think I could chop about 15 titles and not really feel it, and that's kind of what I'm getting ready to do, which won't be drastic, but it'll be closer to what you're getting.
Yeah, I guess for me, the challenge is for something like a Deathstroke Inc. or The Thing, where it's like, yeah, this is a new title, who cares? That's easier to cut versus a franchise I've been getting for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Batman or The Flash or whatever.
That having been said, I have stopped getting some of those franchises. Hulk, Daredevil, and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
So it's not impossible. It's just a question of what solicit is the one that prompts me to decide, okay, that's enough. Or what issue is enough to make me think that's enough?
And every now and then it happens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And your pull list has been proof of that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, again, I got 65 comics this month. You could go back a couple of years, and there were weeks I was getting that.
Which is just, yeah, crazy. I remember you and I used to get some mega list, and you got received more than I did.
Mm-hmm.
Some weeks you get 50 every week for the month, which is just insane. 50 plus.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when we were talking when you had almost 2,000 comics to read your backlog.
I think it was only about 800 I'd gotten behind.
800? Oh.
I mean, that's about how many I'm getting this year, I think, so far. I'm curious where my total is going to wind up at the end of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, I am too. So I want to see where your list is and see if you're more content now or happier.
Happier with the reading load. At this point, not more content with the content.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Because I'll be honest, like when I put the episode images together for these episodes, I kind of go through and it's like, okay, what cover really stood out that I think was just either a cool cover or a really good issue or something like that. And there's so many of them that you just, particularly when you shrink the cover down to put it on a episode image or whatever, it's just chaotic nothingness.
Yeah, you're like, this is horrible.
So the cover designs aren't working for me. And some of the stories, it's like, again, it's been going on forever, or it's not moving, or Yeah, I'm just getting grumpy in my old age, I guess.
I'll tell you what, I enjoy watching you opening your boxes and hearing the comments you make. It literally makes me laugh. You're like, yeah, this title, that's just not good.
Yeah, yeah.
Just fun. I really do enjoy those videos. Please keep them coming.
Glad you like them. And if people don't know what we're talking about, I have been doing unboxing videos for about a year and a half now. Really, ever since they started releasing comics after the shutdowns back May of last year. And then for at least about a year now, I've been doing, I've been scanning them into my comic collector stuff from Collector Z. So I've been doing two videos. I've got links to them on the website, and I post them on the new purchases section of the Slack channel for Comic Book Page.
Yeah, they're really fun to watch.
They're just a few minutes.
Yeah, not long at all. It's fun. I especially like it, seeing it when you have tape problems, too. That's always fun.
There are a couple of times, like, how the hell do I open this?
You're like, let me get this off the camera.
I have been so close to pulling the thing off the camera so you don't have to see me fiddle with the whole stuff, and then just trying to find a sound effect for, like, a chainsaw or something like that, and then just throwing confetti into the camera area.
That would be hilarious. You got to do that.
If we ever have a release that times out on April 1st or something, remind me.
All right, I will.
It would just be funny. End of the year, we've got the Yearly Comic Spotlight coming up. The thread is up. We've had one or two people post to it. One person tried to post, had problems, still don't know what was going on with that, but that person sent me their picks already, which is kind of cool, so I've got that. Deadline is January 6th. Hopefully that gives people enough time. If not, let us know. We'll see what we can do. I'm not sure exactly when we're going to record that one off the top of my head, but this is a great chance for you to kind of weigh in, let us know what you thought was your favorite of the year from DC, Marvel, etc. We've got pretty much the usual categories. I don't think we've got anything too crazy there.
Yeah.
But I love getting the feedback at the end of the year. There have been a couple of titles that have gotten on my pull list because of the Yearly Comic Spotlight, of people saying, yeah, I thought this was the best thing that came out this year. And I'm like, maybe I should check that out.
Yeah. Sometimes it's cool. People only read like five titles, but they're able to vote for those titles and tell us why those are the five that made it on their pull list. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of cool. Yeah, so it doesn't matter if you're reading five or 500.
Yeah. I mean, if you're only getting five, there's a reason you're getting those five.
Yep.
You know, if you're getting, you know, bazillion of them or whatever, yeah, you've got a lot more to pick from, and maybe you know how they're stacking up for you compared to stuff, but it's also one of those things, it gets a lot harder to pick the stuff, because at least for me, it all kinds of blurs together at some point, but yeah.
Yeah, well, I'm looking forward to it.
And then on the preview spotlight, want to encourage people to send in clips for that whenever they can. We have changed up the ordering just a little bit. We're starting with the DC Connect, going to the Marvel previews, then the Diamond previews, and we've changed up the naming convention a little bit, just to kind of simplify the process so we don't have to figure out, well, where would DC fit in, where would Marvel fit in, and all that stuff. And who knows, maybe that'll continue to evolve as the distributor shenanigans evolve. So we'll see.
Very true.
Anything else?
No, that does it for me.
Cool. The January previews came out on December 29th, and the deadline for preview spotlight number 170 is the morning of Saturday, January 8th. Recording clips for the preview spotlight episodes is easy, and we've got an open submission policy for these episodes. Please send in clips to support the comics you love as often as you can. If you'd like to get email reminders for the preview spotlight episodes, you can join the emailing list on the main page of the comicbookpage.com website. The show notes and forum for this podcast can be found at www.comicbookpage.com under the podcast and forum sections of the website. Please email us at theguys@comicbookpage.com and let us know what you think of what was discussed in this episode. Thanks for listening.